Well, yeah. You carry such a peaceful energy.
Kids know. They want to hug a tree. They want to roll down the hill.
Oh my God, rolling down hills is so fun and nauseating when you're an adult, but like so fun to just let your body flop like that.
I created my own sport, ski jacketing. If you don't have a sled and there's snow and you have a good slick jacket, you just throw yourself or slide down a hill with your ski jacket. You have to leave your hair up. I was doing that for a while for great fun.
Hi, welcome to Life, Death, and the Space Between. You know me by now, Dr. Amy Robbins, clinical psychologist and medium. And today I'm talking with Cheryl Pallant. We are talking about embodiment practices, and embodiment gotten a really big name right now. Lots of people are talking about embodying. There's lots of talk about somatic experiences. And so in this episode today, you will learn about what embodiment practices are, how you can begin to apply them in your everyday life. The end of the episode, we give you some really specific embodiment practices, but also, can you be too embodied? You know, do you want to be feeling everything all the time? That's something we discuss as well. So here is today's episode. Welcome, Cheryl.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I'm excited to dive into this concept of ecosomatics. Your book is called Ecosomatics, Embodiment Practices for a World in Search of Healing. And I hear a lot these days about somatics. It's a big term in the psychology field. Certainly in the field of emerging psychedelic research, there's a lot of talk around somatics. So can you help myself and my listeners understand both what ecosomatics is, what somatics is, and also embodiment and what that means?
So somatics is the subjective experience of the body compared to the objective experience of the body. So an example I like to give is, if you say you're cold and you look at the thermostat and it says it's 75 degrees, 75 is the objective. But somatic says your personal experience says you're cold. So that has validity. So your own personal experience, whether it accords with so-called objective reality or not, has great value within the somatic fields. And you, certainly in psychology, it's totally a part of that field. So ecosomatics is this recognition that, one, it comes from ecology. So ecology is an awareness of systems, natural systems, all systems working together. And so is somatics. Somatics is aware of like the nervous system works with the skeletal system, but also it works with external systems. So ecosomatics is aware of that interdependency between inner experience with the outer world experience. And embodiment is the degree to which one is aware or present within oneself. And I often quote James Joyce, the first line of one of his short stories, Mr. Duffy lived a short distance from his body. Mm. So most of us are not tuned into what's going on within ourselves, except for some of the really basic things. Oh, I got a headache. Oh, I'm tired. Oh, I'm hungry. But with embodiment, you're getting into the more nuanced awareness of oneself. So it's not a matter of you are or aren't embodied. It's to what degree. So to what degree are you perceiving self? What degree are you aware of self's interaction with your own environment? So that's my definition of embodiment.
Okay. So help me understand practically what this looks like in everyday life along a spectrum. So you have people who are potentially completely dissociated from themselves, right, to completely embodied. And so what can you help me understand, like, along that spectrum, what yeah. this looks like in real life, IRL, yeah. as my kids would say.
Okay. So when you use the word dissociated, that word makes me think of psychological disorders. So that you are in like a totally different, like I'm right now seeing dragons and they're okay. after me and I'm like, ah, right?
Yeah.
So more right. like a kind of schizophrenia, you know, just something that, you know, maybe you need to be on medication for.
Mm-hmm. So that, okay. That's not right? how.
So yeah. That's the extreme. Right, that's the extreme. Right.
And then right? there's dissociation is just a defense when people are not necessarily embodied.
Right.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
And then there's like you yelling at me and I'm like, I just can't handle it. So I kind of put up my defenses and I'm not feeling everything, mm-hmm. which is kind of a normal thing. Mm-hmm. I would say even to a degree healthy. But with embodiment, it's like, oh, you're checking in with, how am I feeling in this moment? What's going, oh, look, the temperature of my body just heated up because this person is yelling at me. Oh, my neck just got really tense. Oh, I'm watching this person and I'm noticing she's doing X, Y, and Z. So there's a great awareness of self, but also other, and being in some degrees open to, in this example, the barrage of information. Now, it doesn't even have to be, you know, such an extreme situation. Let's say here we are just talking. And how open are our perceptions to each other? How open are my perceptions within myself? And that's, you know, this whole continuum of highly sensitive, somewhat sensitive, you know, all the way on. And people who, as I'm sure you've had discussions with your people on your program, some people who are highly sensitive can't even turn off, you know, the subtle things that are not about dissociation, but they're just still feeling like you can hear all the thoughts and feel the feelings of other people. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what's that happy medium? Can you turn the dial up and down at will? So that's what's going on.
So being completely embodied, as we're talking about it here, wouldn't necessarily serve you at all times.
Oh, no. Like when I go into, oh, I don't know, a really busy party, mm-hmm. with so many people talking. And I'm like, I mean, just the volume alone. And these days with the ceilings, everything is reverberating. And I'm like, you know, and it's so, excuse me, what did you say? Mm-hmm. You know, so, right. So we're always kind of monitoring all the different dials so that we can focus on a discussion or look at the artwork or whatever it is our purpose in that moment. So no, I mean, we're always making those choices. But one of the premises I'm talking about in my book, because I'm very concerned about what's happening in our world environmentally, because there's this little thing called climate crisis happening, is that...
That's a real thing, according to some people, right? Or they're saying it's not, I'm not saying.
Right. That not only are we in a benign... Many of us are not in a benign relationship with ourselves. And many of us are largely disembodied or some degree of frequently dissociating. But we also don't have a relationship with the natural world, the environment. It's just out there. A tree is just a form. It's not alive, or it is alive. It grows. But maybe it's pretty, but many of us don't even see it, let alone feel it on some level. And not just a tree, but, you know, the dirt or mushrooms or the air. And all of these things are influencing how we are. It's a two-way street. And because we've been, that relationship has been broken, I think it's creating all sorts of unease and dis-ease. So this is my premise, that the better we can be at perceiving with self-compassion, mind you, because a lot of us get caught up in self-judgment, the better our relationships are with self and with other. And then we move out of what I think of as an epidemic of loneliness and an epidemic of anxiety as well.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's not an on-off switch. It's a slider.
So in tuning into our own internal experience, what happens is we become better connected with not only ourselves, but also people in our families, our friends, and the world around us. And so if it sort of ripples out in that way, that's where true healing happens.
Right. Right. I mean, there's a lot of disconnection. I mean, so many of us have anything from a little to a lot of disconnection. Well, how are you feeling right now? I do energy healing, and I'll ask my clients, how are you feeling? I don't know. Well, just take a moment, check in. Tell me what's going on physically. I don't know. I don't know. But you came to me because you've got chronic migraines. Yeah, I don't have one right now. I'm like, okay. Well, what's going on with you emotionally? Right? And I mean, and then I have to guide them into even connecting with themselves on one level or another. Whereas if you ask me those same questions, you know, yeah, because right now I'm talking to you, so my focus is on you, but I can pretty quickly turn it back on me and say, oh, I just noticed, you know, my breathing is a little bit more shallow, I think because I'm excited to talk to you. And, oh, a little bit of tension in my hip socket. And I can give you more information than maybe a lot of your listeners would want to know. but because of my attunement to self, that information is readily available, and it's valuable information. So then I know, like, what do I need to do to make myself feel better or appropriate to the situation?
Yeah. As you're talking, I'm obviously taking what you're saying and applying it to myself. And I hope everybody else is also starting to do that. And I'm thinking about in my daily life, kind of what this looks like for me. Like I'm very conscious of my body, probably because I'm sitting all day, but maybe not. And I'm always moving and shaking. And I think as a therapist, I hold a lot of other people's energy. So I'm really conscious of where that energy is sitting in my body, and have become actually much more conscious of that. Probably the more this has become kind of in the zeitgeist, but also the importance in my own work of how, and, you know, the body keeps the score and everybody talks about that book, which is great. But what does that actually mean? What does it mean to hold? Someone said to me the other day, the issues in the tissues, to hold all of these experiences in our physical body and be so disconnected from that.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Right. So we all are doing that to one degree or an extreme degree. And so it's kind of like me going, saying boo, and you go, ah, right? Mm-hmm. And what we hope is that most people then go, oh, yeah, that was just you joking around. And then I exhale. But what happens for many of us in that boo ends up being something more serious, like, you know, you've lost your job or you've lost a family member or somebody said something nasty to you and you wince, that we hold, we go like, oh, and then we never exhale. And it's not only the exhaling, but, you know, see my hands. So that tightening of the body. And so that gets stored in the body. So, you know, one of the ways to release all of that, we'll call it, it shows up as tension or the impressions of your life is, so the more you can be moving.
My son is so funny. He started walking. He's 10 and he started doing this really funny walk lately where he just like looks like one of those Gumby things that blows.
Oh, yeah.
And I started doing it too because it was so cute.
Right.
But it really like moves and things.
And it feels good.
Yeah.
Right. Right. And when you're doing that, you don't even have to know that, oh, that was just when dad said such and such to me and I had that major wince. Oh, and that, like, you don't have to identify, we'll call it the stressors. It's just kind of because your body's holding it all over the place and you can just kind of move it on, let it go. So it's a little bit of like a martial arts. So you just kind of, it's coming in and maybe it moves through you and then it moves out of you. So just keep the process going. Keep some movement. You know, breath practice, just how is your breath in this moment? Is it just in your chest, which means it's shallow? Can you invite the breath into your belly? Can you invite breath all the way to the bottom of your torso?
If you love the show, there are several ways you can show the love. You can go to patreon.com at Dr. Amy Robbins, just put in my name, and support the show in any monetary amount you feel comfortable. $5, $10, $20 a month makes the world of difference to me. So I would appreciate if you could support the show, if you're already supporting the show. There aren't enough ways to put into words how grateful I am for that support. It literally has made such a difference to me, and it is what keeps this show going. So thank you so much. Also, make sure you're subscribed anywhere you can get the show. You are following me on Instagram. Please subscribe to my newsletter, DrAmyRobbins.com, where I do bi-monthly soul wisdoms. I'm going to be getting back to that. I took a little break, but they are coming back. And also, you can follow me on Instagram at Dr. Amy Robbins. That is where I'm the most active. That's the social media platform you can find me on the most frequently. And just reach out. Let me know your thoughts on a podcast. Share the podcast with friends, whomever you think would be interested in this topic. Just please pass it along. And thanks as always for your support. It's amazing in just those like three breaths, how you feel your nervous system settle.
Right. Right. And that was, 10 seconds or something like that. And typically what happens when we bring awareness to the breath, oh, I don't know how to breathe. Oh my God. You know, you find like, right. And then to just kind of like, it's okay. Just keep breathing or take in a bigger breath until you find an ease. And I find going all the way down to the torso, the bottom of the torso, where you don't think there's breath, but suddenly you're feeling the weight of your body.
And you're feeling rooted.
You're feeling rooted. Right. And then so then your breath is like, oh, we can go more places than we had been. And oh, you know, here's my shoulders and my shoulders. I'm going to make this a little more exaggerated so people can see. And yeah, the whole body like settles down. And then once you're in, you know, your nervous system is more settled, then I'm also more available to myself, more embodied, more present, and more available to you too. Because if I'm like this all the time, it's like, I'm sorry, what did you just say? I'm sorry, right? And we're miscommunicating and misunderstanding or not even hearing. When I'm like this, then I'm available or more available.
And is that what you describe as somatic intelligence?
Yeah. Is being able to notice all those different nuanced phenomena. I feel tension in my left hip, but not in my right hip. Or when I'm breathing, it suddenly feels like my right lung has some flame on it, but the left lung doesn't. So, and a lot of times the information that's provided by the body comes symbolically. So it's kind of like a dream. So is my right lung on fire? I don't think so, but I'm getting this image of heat and fire. Okay. So what does that mean? So then I have to go like, okay, a process of inquiry, same way that you do with dream interpretation. What is that about? Mm-hmm. There's some commonalities between my body, your body, other bodies. So, oh yeah, when you've got an inflamed or fire lung, this means, but it may also mean something very specific to you. And so that's about you doing that inquiry and finding out what is that? What is that about?
So when you talk about energy healing or do energy healing, yeah. I know a lot of people, it's a broad term. I think it's used. I think there's many people out there who think it's like this magic thing that you just go and someone heals your energy. But I think our energy is more complicated than that. And We have to heal our own energy. And I think emotions have a lot to do with that. Can you explain what energy healing is looks like in your world, or how you conceptualize and think about it?
Yeah. So my official training is in Reiki and healing touch. And there's a lot of overlap between them. But it has to do with, even though I see you, and if we were in the same room, we could touch each other. We tend to think that the body is solid. But guess what? 80% of the body is water. And then I'm not sure what the percentage is, but we are also energy. So, you know, when you go get your heart checked, they're checking the energy of your heart. You can check the energy of your brain. They're still working on devices that can check on your subtle energy, or some people might call it your chi or your prana. And different people can, some people can see it. Oh, you know, you've got, there's a cloud over your right temple, you know, but for the most part, you're in a blue, you know. So some people can see, some people can hear, feel. Basically, you know, each of the senses work depending on what your own ability is. And I've got the ability in just about each of them to a different degree.
So would you say that's like voyant, audience, or is it different for you? Or is that what it is
say,
for you?
I would say it's those.
Okay.
Yeah, it's those.
And my listeners are very familiar with that.
Yeah. And I work with people both in person, so they're on my massage table, and I work with people at a distance too, which is very fascinating that we don't even have to be in the same space. I don't even have to see them. And so I'm connecting with them, whether they're in person or not, on that energetic level. And that's happening, you know, how do we describe it? Quantum mechanics explains it, or that, you know, space and time is very elastic. So when I'm working with somebody, I am going through the various techniques that I've learned, one to kind of check in with, like, what am I picking up on what's going on with them? So, so I might be doing this around their bodies. And, oh, wow, that right lung is really hot. You know, I often feel that sensation. Sometimes I'll get like, I'm hearing a voice that says, you're being really critical about who you are, or something like that. And depending on who the person is, I might even share that information. But essentially, I know what unease or dis-ease in the energy field looks like or feels like. And I've been doing a lot of work on myself over the years, but also prior to every session, I kind of zero myself or neutralize myself so that I'm able to be a source to the other person. And it's not just me. I'm just like the vehicle that it's coming through. Mm-hmm. And then I'm basically looking at ways to raise their own energy level, or the way that I like to describe it is I'm a garden hose that is, the energy's running or the water's running clearly. But some people have that little kink in the hose, right? And I hook up my hose to their hose, and that little kink starts kind of coming undone.
Unkinking.
And some people, depending on what's going on, one is, you know, one session and their calmness level goes way up. Depending on what's going on with them, their so-called unease, dis-ease can come down some or quite a bit. So, you know, because some of it also has to do with their own belief systems and what their relationship is with themselves.
So when you hook up in that way, mm-hmm. do you just like sort of blow the water through? or do you address why the kink happened? Because in therapy, right, I'm going to address why the kink happened.
Yeah.
And I love how these modalities can go together, but I also try to understand how they could go together.
Yeah. So one is, I actually frequently work with, my husband is a psychologist and his specialty is trauma. Mm. And so there are some clients that we share in common so that he and they can talk through stuff, maybe talk about the why, or maybe talk about going forward. But I'm less concerned, or maybe even not concerned at all, about the why. I'm just saying, oh, she's not breathing deeply. Okay, look, there's something going on with this lung. Let me just kind of move the energy a little bit. And yeah, blow, but I'm not literally.
Right.
Yeah. And then, so I'm moving that energy. And sometimes they have awareness of, oh my gosh, you know, I've been angry at my mom and I haven't expressed that. And maybe I need to. Half the time they're not. They just like, and that's okay. It's just like, oh, wow, I feel I'm breathing. I'm breathing differently. Wow, great. Wow. Right. So it's not about the why. It's about getting them to just be more available, more in flow with their own being.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that energy work can be enough in like a standalone modality?
Yes, but depends on what's going on. And then it also has to do with, I've also noticed that, you know, you can't say all energy workers are alike. So they have different degrees of, does their energy work with your energy? In the same way that, you know, you can say the same thing about psychologists. Well, I know she's got like 3 PhDs, but I don't know. We didn't click, you know? And the same thing happens with, you know, people who are energy workers. Sometimes it just doesn't click. So you need to find somebody who you feel comfortable enough with. And you can pretty much find out. Sometimes I'll talk to my clients briefly on the phone ahead of time or an email. And they just want to like check out with like, is this a good fit or not? And that's fine. But, you know, once we were doing a session, you know, sometimes I'll have a client who's like, oh, yes, I so need this. But energetically, their body's like, who's this person? I don't know. Maybe not. No. And so sometimes it's not until, you know, a second session that more dramatic response is taking place. So not all two people are alike. And I've seen so many Reiki people, you know, they go through, in some ways, I want to say an easy training. And then they say, I do it. Let me see you. And I think sometimes they do harm instead of help. Because I was part of a group, different levels of ability, and we would work on each other. And I'd be receiving from somebody. I'm like, oh my God, they are so anxious within themselves. And I'm picking up on their anxiety and I end up having to defend myself. And am I benefiting from this at all? No, because I just spent this whole session being defensive as opposed to I want to be able to just like be open and let this other person come in and do their magic. Mm-hmm. So they have to have done, not just gone through a training, but also have done what I call their own homework. You know, have they?
Same in my field.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So have they owned up to not only who they know themselves to be, but have they looked into their darker places, into their shadow parts? And yeah, we all have that to a degree, but are you able to hold it back and not transfer it to your client You better hang on to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know? Right. Yeah. We call that projecting, right? I mean, these right. There's so many crossover. God, I want to sit at your dinner table with you and your husband. there's so many crossovers because in a lot of ways, I mean, as a therapist, I'm very in tune with people's energy, like when they walk in the room, right? And so I notice myself, and again, this is after years of doing the therapeutic work, right. I notice myself, like, how can I help them both embody, right, with breath, but also how can I match that with them to help them maybe,
yeah,
I always say, like, down-regulate their nervous system or notice where their anxiety is in their body and just breathe into it to let it go. So there's just a lot. It's just a shame that the modalities have become so separate, although they're coming back together, I think, in some ways.
I think they are coming together. Yeah. Because in the field of somatic psychology, there's recognizing all the overlaps, which is great, And I love that I get to work with my husband, with people who have trauma, because, you know, you can talk about your trauma all day long, but until you start getting into the level of the body and start loosening those tensions that are stitched in your body everywhere, you're going to minimize the progress you're making. So you've got to, like, find a way. And sometimes it's got to be, you can't do it by yourself. You do need that other person to help you in that self-regulation. Mm-hmm. So I know that, you know, once I put my hands on somebody, they're like, oh, or even with the distant people, and they feel, oh, wow, that a degree of calmness that they're not familiar with. Mm-hmm. Oh, whoa. All right.
Well, yeah. You carry such a peaceful energy. I mean, it was evident. And that's one of the things I'm always, both in my practice, but also on the podcast, is okay, soon as I get on, it's like, where's their energy? Where's my energy? Because I tend to operate, I can be a little higher energy.
So I've been a meditator since I was 16. So that's been pretty helpful on many levels.
What are some embodiment practices that people can take with them from this chat today?
So, you know, just that simple thing that we did earlier of check in with your breath. So there you are in your chair. So I'm imagining your listeners are on your chair, their chairs. And like, okay. When I say get comfortable in your chair, suddenly everybody's like, oh, was I? Okay, right? Which is great, because then you're also noticing, like, well, where are your arms? Where are your fingers? And where are your feet? And just kind of check in with the location of your body. And then start checking with your breath. And feel your weight on the chair. And feel your feet against the floor. And how gravity, amazingly, is holding us in place. So for some of us, we're hearing our mind, our inner chatter is going crazy. Like, okay, just notice it. You can also notice, you know, what is the quality of it? Is it anxious, or is it yelling, or is it reminding you of things? And you just notice that. And if you just do that even for 5 minutes a day, that's a wonderful practice. And then, you know, another one is kind of doing what your son's doing, you know, and just kind of allowing yourself put on some of your favorite music. You know, I mean, I prefer quieter music because I find slow movement, not this, because we end up getting all into the beat. Great exercise, but slower movement is allowing us to get out of our habits of movement. And even as I'm doing this, you know, I'm feeling how my back, like, thanking me for releasing some stress. I feel the heat of my body rising. And your body has its own intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
So if you stop thinking and just kind of let it move, let the body move, let yourself feel awkward, let yourself be silly, because that's what the body wants.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, our education system, probably since third grade, says, Cheryl, stop your moving in your chair. And we've learned to be still. And we don't want to be still. And I'm not even talking about if you have ADD or ADHD. I'm talking about all of us, right? We're good for stillness at times. Yep. But there's, you know, we also want to do whatever movement we're doing, which is why I think they say 20 minutes on a Zoom call or focus on your computer and then look somewhere else and move 20 minutes. Keep giving yourself those sorts of breaks.
Well, and the fact that we sit in chairs versus the floor. Like when I think of ecosomatic, I think I took a class last week on 3 days. I spent the entire time sitting on my floor. It felt so good. My back didn't hurt. I was on a cushion, like I was on a bolster, but I acted as if I was in a meditation all day. And my body responded in that way.
Yeah. And then there's the other thing of find somewhere outdoors. Could be grassy, could be rocky. And lay down.
Yeah, well, that's not happening here.
Right. Not right now. It's winter.
Right.
Maybe,
it's like,
well, you know, maybe
I mean,
you've
it
got
is a
like
heat
a really
wave
good coat.
Here. It's 20 today.
Oh, okay.
It's 14. So.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Put on your bathing suit.
Right.
But, you know, when it's maybe a little bit warmer, but just finding like letting yourself spread yourself against the earth. I mean, this is what I started doing at the beginning of the pandemic when I and everybody else was freaking out. And the only thing that I wanted to do was lay on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And in that moment, I could feel the ground supporting me and kind of receiving my anxiety about what was going on. So that too is an incredible practice that if we were 3 years old or 6 years old, we'd be doing that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's like, Cheryl, get off the floor, get off, you're dirtying your pants, get on the chair or stand up. Like, no, we want to be, kids know, they want to hug a tree, they want to roll down the hill.
Oh my God, rolling down hills is so fun and nauseating when you're an adult, but like so fun to just let your body flop like that.
Yeah. 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 And you can do that in your room when it's, if it's 20 degrees outside. Although I did discover I created my own sport, ski jacketing. So this is, if you don't have a sled, and there's snow and you have a good slick jacket, you just throw yourself or slide down a hill with your ski jacket. You have to leave your hair up. And it's, I was doing that for a while for great fun.
That sounds great.
Got a sled.
I have to be honest. There's been times where I've just gone and put my bare feet in the snow for a minute or two, which I think it's really, really cold here, but even after this class that I took, it was 3 days. And when it ended, it was, I don't know, negative 30 here. It was crazy. And I opened the door and I stepped outside and just went and like breathed in that air and breathed it out. I couldn't tolerate more than like 2 minutes. But my God, did it feel good and alive to be in that space.
Yeah, probably because you got your own heat up, your inner heat. I mean, there's practices within Tibetan Buddhism, and there's also a guy in, I forget where he is, Northern Europe, in which you bring up your inner heat. And this guy in Northern Europe goes, you know, plunging in ice cold water.
Oh, Wim Hof?
Yes. Yep, that guy. I don't want to do it. I don't even want to learn it. It's not on my to-do list. Sorry. But when you've got that heat going, which you probably did from the class, then you can meet the cold in the same way that, you know, I take a lot of, in the wintertime, hot baths to what I call heat my core.
Mm-hmm. Cheryl, so many just nuggets of wisdom today. And if people are interested in learning more about you, your work, just want to be in your beautiful energy field, which is so peaceful.
Thank you.
Where can they find out more about everything that you do?
So you can go to my website, and it's CherylPallant.com, and I'll spell it, even though it's probably going to be...
Yeah, I'll put it in show notes and everything.
But CHERYLPALLANT.com. And I do workshops. Some are online, some are in person. And I work on people individually. So just reach out to me via email.
Well, thank you so much, Cheryl, for your time today and for putting up with my tech issues.
Oh, you're welcome. No, it's been great talking with you.
You too. Thank you. Like what you heard today and want to hear more? Wondering what comes next and what it all means? Head over to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, or anywhere you get your podcasts and hit subscribe. Also, if you could take a minute to rate and review my podcast, I would really appreciate it. Stay tuned as we continue to explore life, death, and the space between.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.